this morning, I'm very honored with our fathers and understanding our fathers and things about our fathers. But I wanted to give you guys kind of a scenario of what's taking place in our world today and how important that it is to have good fathers. In our world today, we need to have fathers that will take a hold of what fathers need to be. The need of fathers today is great. Every day in America, I want you to listen to this. Every day in America, 1,000 unwed children, teenage girls, become mothers. 1,106 teenage girls get abortions. 500 teens begin, this is every day, begin using drugs. 1,000 teens begin drinking alcohol every day. 135,000 kids bring a gun or other weapon to school. And, I mean, it's a proven fact. Just listen to the news in the last month. How many schools have been attacked? How many kids have been killed by other kids bringing weapons to school? 3,610 are assaulted. 80 are raped per day. 2,200 teens drop out of school per day. 7 kids ages 10 through 19 are murdered. 7 juveniles, 17 and under, are arrested for murder. 6 teens a day commit suicide. Now, let me add to this. This is an old statistic. This is not recent. This is not just yesterday or last week or last month. This is an older statistic. But it speaks about how many of our youth today are in turmoil. And I truly believe today, throughout our world, throughout America, teens are in turmoil. Why? I do believe it's because the father image has not been laid out to them correctly. Let me say up front that though many single moms can and often do a great job working with their children, it still takes a dad. We cannot diminish the importance of a father image. And if you're ever seeing what's going on in our culture today, looking at TV, looking at so many things that are going on, men have been demoralized. Men have been taken, made a joke of. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all you men that are important role to your family. I'm sorry for what the TV and what movies are doing today to demoralize your position, to put you as nothing more than a joke. I'm so, so sorry. But that's what's happening today. A study of 39 teenage girls suffering from anorexia nervosa showed that 36 of them had one common denominator, the lackness of closeness to their fathers. An emotionally and physically absent father contributes to a child's low motivation for achievement, inability to defer immediate gratification for later rewards, low self-esteem, Susceptibility to group influence. You got it. And juvenile delinquency. This is what's going on today. Again, the stats speak for themselves. Fathers are important in the lives of their children. And they need to be there, not just physically, but emotionally as well. Fathers, can I say without a doubt that good fathers mean, and a good husband is the most challenging responsibility any of us and all of us take on. It's a big responsibility. If you're like most men, even those who may have had a poor or harmful experience with their own fathers, you want to be a good dad. And I really believe that. I really believe that upon all men, that they look at that and they want to be, but there's something there that kind of alienates or stops them from being the dad or the father they want to be. A good father needs a role model. Amen? He needs a role model, an example of a father that you can pattern yourself to and pattern yourself after. Where do you find such a father? Where do you look? Is there such a thing as a perfect father? Yes. There is. Thank you, Tim. Because there is. See, we are imperfect. We cannot be that perfect father. But we do have a role model. We do have someone we can look to. We do have someone that was perfect. And this morning, I want to talk to you about how we can learn about being a father by looking at God, the perfect father, and the one we should be imitating. Turn with me to Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. And I truly like this. And if you don't mind, I want to read to you from the Amplified. Ephesians 5, verses 1. You know, this goes for fathers, but I do believe it goes for every human being. Because we all should be following this example. This is a good one to underline too, by the way. Therefore, be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example. As well-beloved children, imitate their father. And walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a slain offering and sacrifice to God for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance. And there's a whole album that I have by the Christ Church called The Sweet Aroma. And you understand that's exactly what God wants from every one of us. Lord, thank you. Because if I have a role model to look to, Lord, I have you. And I thank you so much for your love. I thank you so much for being that perfect father image in heaven that I can look to. Because I know without a doubt, God, I am not perfect. I can be a little short-tempered. I can say things that are not correct. I can do things that are not up to your standards at times. But because you are perfect, you always look down from heaven and help me make better decisions. You always look down from heaven and teach me your ways. as I know, Lord, that you do with every father here and every father that is on planet Earth. You are here. You're not far distance away, God, but you're in our hearts. And because you're in our hearts, God, you help us strive to become that good and perfect father that we need to be for our children and our wives. Help me, Lord, this day, under your anointing, speak what you want today. And that is so true this morning. Today we need to see what God wants us to see. And the very first thing we can learn from looking at God is that God loves us. God is a father who loves and accepts his children for who they are. He doesn't overlook that, but he looks and accepts you for who you are. He doesn't try to make you something different. He takes you for who you are. See, 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he, what? First loved us. Now, if I had to ever say a wow, that's a wow. Because some of us takes a lot to be to be loved. When I'm not at my very best, it takes a little more to love this guy. When I get a little upset at things and say the wrong things, it takes a little bit to love me. But I can always look to the one above that doesn't look at the words I say, doesn't look at some of the things I do. He loves me because of who I am, not because of what I'm trying to do. And that's the way God loves you. He loves you for who you are. Amen? Romans 5:8 says, but God shows and clearly proves his love, his own love for us, by the fact that while we were still sinners. Oh, now wait a minute. Oh, that's saying something right there. While we were still sinners, Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for us. Now, are you grabbing a hold of that? God didn't tell you to come to him perfect. We would never make it. You don't even know, and Ray, I know you go through this too. How many of us say, well, I'll come to the Lord tomorrow. I'll ask forgiveness tomorrow or the next day. Or when I've done all these things to do to get better. Right now, I don't feel like I'm good enough to be saved. We hit that in our ministry all the time. When we're seeing some of these patients that are on their deathbed, you better get it right pretty soon or else it's going to be a little late. I went and prayed with someone Friday that the wife called me to pray. He's a military person that doesn't have long to live. And frankly, I don't even know if he'll make it through the weekend. But I talked to the wife, and we sat and talked a little bit, and I told her, here's what we're going to do. He is incoherent. That means he can't talk. Okay? He can't really visualize. But I'm not going to go to his mind. I want to go and pray to his heart. And as I pray to his heart, I'm going to pray the sinner's prayer. I told her right out, this is what I'm going to do. You know, hey, I have the right to do that. She called me. I'm going to pray the sinner's prayer with him. You told me that he has fear. Well, I think that fear is he has fear of not knowing where he's going. So I'm going to alleviate that fear, and we're going to pray the sinner's prayer to him. Now, he might not be able to answer me, but you know, and Ray, you know what I'm saying, the mind is the last thing to go. Even though he might not be able to talk, I know the mind is there. I don't know the heart's there. So all I really want to get to is the heart. So I want to pray with him. And as I began to pray, his eyes opened. He looked straight into my eyes as I prayed the sinner's prayer with him. Now, he could not answer me, but I wasn't looking for the answer. God's the only one that needs to have that answer. And if God can do it, and it has to be made from the heart, if he makes that reconciliation from the heart, I told him, if you will do that, all that fear you have will be gone. And the good Lord will come down here and he'll grab your hand and he'll take you back to heaven. That's what it's going to take. The only way you'll alleviate the fear of this world is by the acceptance of God in heaven above. And we prayed that prayer. And when we were all done, the wife was in tears. And we sat there and after a little bit, and we said, I think fear's gone. Now, family's coming here in this afternoon. I don't really believe he's going to make it past the weekend. But when that time comes, I do believe that fear will not be there. I mean, I had that confirmation just by looking at his eyes and seeing it in his eyes. He couldn't speak it, but he felt it. And that's what it's all about with God. See, God comes to you as you are. He doesn't require you to become some great person. You know, he doesn't want us to meet his expectations. He did not want us to make him proud. He did not wait until we measured up to his standards, because if you understand that, we'll never measure up to God's standards. And if we're trying to wait to receive him as our personal Savior until we meet his standards, then you're going to die and go to hell. Ooh, Pastor, what'd you just say? I'm just telling you the truth. He simply loved us, and he loved us first. God's love for us is complete, constant, and unconditional. We cannot earn it, we cannot escape it, and we cannot erase it. God always spoke of his love in his word. That's right, Tim. We want to find the perfect love, we find it in his word. We want to find the perfect father, we find it in his word. He showed us his love on the cross. He wrote his love for us in his blood, and he poured his love on us through adoption. Now, that's love. Psalms 136:1 says, his love endures forever. 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 He may be angry when we disobey him. Or saddened when we stray from him, or sorrowful when we sin. But he never, ever, ever stops loving us. That's the perfect Father. And as fathers, if we had to imitate anyone, let's imitate our Heavenly Father for his love. Romans 8:38-39, I know it's going to come up on the King James up there, but I want to read it from the NIV if you don't mind. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, that one, I believe, is an underlinable one. You should underline that, because that kind of gives you a full scope of God's love for us. That's how much He loves. That's the kind of father I want to be. I know sometimes I fail, and I'm not that. But that's the kind of father I want to be. I want my kids to know that I accept and love them. I want them to know that I love them long before they could even return my love. I want them to know that my love for them is not based on anything they do or do not do, but on who they are. Hallelujah. I also want my kids to know that I love them foremost. Foremost. My job is not more important than they are. My hobbies are not more important than they are. My friends are not more important than they are. My love for them is foremost. And I want to communicate to my children that I love them forever. I want them to know that I accept them and love them no matter what. No matter what, Glory. No matter what, Krista, Alicia, Jeremy, Alexis, no matter what. And I know as your father, probably feel the same way. I'm choked up today because sometimes I don't meet that. Okay? Sometimes I don't say those things that I need to say. Sometimes I don't show that love I need to show. Sometimes I think that they need to be at a higher level. So that at that point in time, I'm not showing the love that God is showing. So I got to work. I got to work on that. Got to work on that. Secondly, God encourages His children. God encourages His children. A psychologist tells about going to school as a little boy and failing a test in math. So the teacher wrote a note and sent it home with him and said, "Your son doesn't have the aptitude for mathematics. He just can't handle math." Well, his mom and dad set him down and told him, "I guess you just don't have an aptitude for math." So, from then on, I flunked every test in math. He said, I could never do math. I could never do it again. But then, one day, the teacher put a problem on the board and asked the class to solve it. But nobody could figure out the answer. I looked at the problem and suddenly realized that I knew the answer. So I held up my hand and everybody kind of laughed because they knew I couldn't solve it. But I walked up to the blackboard, worked the problem, and came up with the right answer. Then I realized that it wasn't my lack of aptitude at all. It was just that everybody had told me I couldn't do math, and because I believed that I didn't even try. That's the difference between encouraging them and disencouraging them. My daughter had to take Alicia, back to Alicia again, got stuck last semester with two math classes. Algebra 1 and Algebra 2 at the same time. Halfway through the semester, she finally came to the conclusion, "Why am I taking Algebra 2 when I haven't even taken Algebra 1? And she tried to convince, this is what I give acknowledgement to this school. She went to her counselor, she went to her IEP teacher, and she tried to explain to them, "I can't do this." But they encouraged her. Well, they really didn't encourage her. They just said, "Well, it's just too late." You're in the class, you're stuck in the class, so just flunk it. And take it again during the summer. I told her that was not an option. So I sat down with her, and one of the classes of math was online, the other class was in school. I worked with her with the online class, and she got a B in that class. She finalized Algebra 2 with a C. A class that she could not, by all means, have even passed. Well, this set a precedent to all of her teachers that she could do it. Understand. She could have flunked it, like they said, but she got the encouragement from home that she could do it, and she did it. And I tell you that because it goes along with all kids. Kids, you'll be surprised what the aptitude of kids can do if you encourage them. They're not going to get the encouragement from the world. They're not going to get the encouragement from people around them. You know where they're going to get their encouragement from? Family. You are family. Now, I know I'm father. Father image means a lot. But you are family too. Encourage the kids you see. If you're in a school situation, encourage them. And I guarantee they'll excel beyond your imagination. See, you got to understand how God encourages his people. God encouraged Moses at the burning bush when he had told him to deliver the nation of Israel. Moses said, I can't do it. God said, you can. God encouraged Gideon by calling him a mighty warrior. God encouraged Joshua as Joshua set out to conquer the promised land. God encouraged Jeremiah as he chose him to be his prophet. God saw the things his children could do and encouraged them to do and go and do them, and they did. I want to be a father who encourages with words, presence, and assistance. That's what I want to be. Dan Benson, in his book, The Total Man, tells how one survey revealed that parents averaged, now listen to this, 10 negative comments to their children for every positive one. Yet Benson observes experts in child psychology believe that it takes at least 4 positive remarks to offset the damage to self-esteem caused by just one negative comment. Whoa, did you hear that? Many times we as parents spend more time telling our children what they did wrong or failed to be rather than what they did right and what they can be. That is so true. Guess what? I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm learning from, if this message is for nobody, it's for me. Because I fall short a lot of times on being that encouragement to my children. Then sometimes looking at them and saying, why didn't you clean the kitchen? Why didn't you do this? You know, I need to encourage them. Thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for for trying to clean the kitchen. Well, see, there is a difference, you know. Why didn't you? Or thank you for trying. There is a difference. That's why it's so important to watch our words. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Did you kind of get that? I want to be the kind of father who encourages my children to chase their dreams, accomplish their goals, and fulfill their God-given destiny. The father who comforts and supports their children. You see, The nature and the character of our Father in heaven reveals that a godly father is one who comforts and supports his children in life's trials and difficulties. Third, God disciplines his children. God is good. He is a loving God. He is a perfect father. His intentions and actions are never evil or are unloving. Yet, he disciplines his children. He does not discipline in spite of his goodness. He disciplines because of his goodness. He does not discipline in spite of his love. He disciplines because of his love. Deuteronomy 8:5 says, "Know then that in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you." Proverbs 3:12 says, "The Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in." He delights in his son, so he disciplines them to help them grow. Are you following this? The man who disciplines his child wisely is reflected by the character of God. We discipline because we love our children. This is going to hurt you more than it hurts me. How many of you have heard that saying? How many of you have been a participant of that saying? And you're thinking while they're taking the belt and they're giving you a little whack on the butt, yeah, this is hurting you more. Let's turn it on you and find out. But that is true. If we discipline our kids because we love them, it's not going to hurt them. What's this one? Spare the rod and... Do you understand what I'm saying? Fathers, I know our love, sometimes we love them so much we don't want to discipline them. We feel that maybe we'll just pray more to God. God disciplined you. Sometimes it takes a little discipline to put them on the right road again. You're going to ask my kids. I wasn't the greatest discipliner, but I know my older daughter there, she'll tell you sometimes, don't. But all my discipline was from love. I wanted to teach you, and I think you turned out okay, dear. You know, I think you did. You think you turned out okay. You have to understand his intentions and actions are never evil or unloving. Yet he disciplines his children. See, a man who disciplines his children wisely is reflected on the character of God. He disciplines because he loves. We love our children. It teaches them responsibility. It teaches them that wrong actions have negative consequences. It helps them to start living right. Now, finally, we've talked about the light of God's love for encouragement and discipline, his love. We fathers must realize that it is our responsibility to bring our children up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. So God gives us responsibility. I think that acknowledging God and worshiping him ought to be a habit, the best habit we can ever have. Again, I think that we have began when our children are very young. Teach them to praise God. Teach them to worship. Teach them that responsibility. Worship should not be a drudgery. Worship should be, when you come into the house of the Lord to praise the Lord, you come in there with the acknowledgement that this is not something I have to do. This is something I want to do. When you walk into the house of God, you walk in here realizing, I have a whole week of garbage to bring in here. Now, I've got to turn around and take that garbage into love. I have to worship the Lord. And as you begin to worship God, I'll guarantee you 100% that all that trash you brought in won't seem like nothing. It'll be burned up in the chafe, and the presence of God will flow in. I have been in services, and I know a lot of you have, where the presence of God has been so strong, there has been no preaching. The presence of God has been so strong, the singing just kind of flows in, and all of a sudden you go into the presence of God. We talk about that sweet aroma. I have been in church service where you smell that sweet aroma. And you're, what is that? And it's just the sweet aroma of the Holy Spirit here. God has not changed. A lot of times we have. Psalms 78, Deuteronomy 6, and so many Bible passages tell us to teach our children as we sit down and as we stand up, as we walk along and as we lie down, to pass on from one generation to the next the instruction of God so that they won't be stiff-necked and rebellious. What's going on in our society today? Why, you heard me talk the very first point. What's going on in our society today? We're not doing that. We're not teaching our children. We're not training them. Now, if you look in the Old Testament, throughout the whole Testament history, I'm talking history now, but if you go back in the Old Testament and the history, as long as the Israel nation taught their children about God, taught their children the prerequisites about God and who He was, the nation of Israel grew. They flourished. They were blessed by God. But when a nation or a king decided that that was not truly profitable for him to do that, and they chose other gods. They chose to worship other gods. They chose to do other things other than worship God, Heavenly Father God. What happened to the nation of Israel? It fell. Time after time after time, it went into captivity. Because God is a loving God. God is a holy God. But God can't be around sin. I am so sorry, but that's it. And when the nation of Israel chose to go another direction, God, not that He didn't love them, but He had to step back. When they turned from their wicked way, then He came. That's what's happening today. Different realm. We're under the church realm, but it's the same concept. As long as a church age, as long as a church continued to preach God, as long as a church continued to do what it needed to do to train up the children in God's ways, our nation, our country grew under the presence of God. But I'm sorry to say, it's being lost. Look at what is going on in schools today. Prayer has been taken out of schools. That was the very first prerequisite. Look at the schools today from that time. From that time forward, what is happening to the schools today is devastating. More and more families are taking kids out of school because school is no longer the best place for them. And they're homeschooling them. Great idea. Probably needs to be done more often. If the homeschooling interacts with more of religious training too. We need to train our children. Something we're not doing. So I leave you with that. Responsibility, fathers. Our responsibility is to train up our children in the way that they should go. And if we do that, do not rely on just the church. Because 9 times out of 10, the church won't or can't do it. It starts at the home and works its way through. Okay? So we need to imitate our Father in heaven by loving and accepting our children no matter what. We need to encourage our children with our words, presence, and assistance. We need to learn how to discipline our children wisely because it is a reflection of the character of God. And we must realize that it is our responsibility to bring our children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And don't rely on the church. Church is one day, 1 hour, 2 hours. They're home with you 24/7 for six 6.5, 7 days. That's where they're going to get their training, good or bad, religious or non-religious. That's where atheists are coming in so strong, agnostics are coming in so strong, churches are falling by the wayside because parents, fathers, hey, I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to me too. We're not taking that responsibility of training our children in the way that they need to go. If you train them up, by Scripture it says, if we train our children in the way that they should go in God, what will happen? They will, what was that? Not depart from that. Now, I'm not talking about, we've got the prodigal son. I'm sure he was trained up the whole time. He left the roost, did his own thing, but when it came right down to the garbage pit, he finally realized. It came back to remembrance what he was taught when he was a young child, and he felt, I need to give back. If you train them up when they're young, when they get of age, they're going to do their own thing, whether it be good or bad, but they've been trained. They know right from wrong, and I'll guarantee you that's going to come back into them through their consciousness. There is always hope. There's always hope. Sherry, come. I'd like for our fathers, if you wouldn't mind. And we're going to go over next to Dan because I don't want Dan to stand. But I'd like for our fathers to please come and come over to Dan. You can stand? Okay. So I'd like our fathers to come forward. If you don't mind, come on, Dan. Then I'd like for you guys to come up here, stand around us, and pray for us, because we need your help. This is a very, very big responsibility, and without the help of the whole family, it's overwhelming. Why fathers today are falling by the wayside, because they don't have the support and the help of the family. So lay your hand on us and pray for us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let us imitate you, O God. Imitate your love. Imitate your encouragement. Imitate your discipline. Imitate your responsibility, O God, toward each and every one of us, O God. Help us. Help us. I will follow. Yes, Lord. He commands.